Thank you, Matthias, and dear colleagues, it is a pleasure to be here in Denmark, in what I see that it is a defining moment of, for vocational training and education in Europe, half a year after we've adopted our proposal for a union of skills in the European Union. And of course, I will, as last night, thank again our Danish hosts for their welcome and for the fact that they are sending such a powerful signal through the Euroskills 2025 competition, that skills matter, that vocational talent belongs on the main stage. And of course, what better place than Denmark, a country that has long shown how vocational pathways lead to good jobs, to innovation, and to social mobility. Later today, as Matthias mentioned already, we will endorse the Herning Declaration, a strong joint commitment to make vocational and education training more attractive, more inclusive, more responsive to the challenges and opportunities of our labour markets. This is very timely, as the challenges that we are facing today are immense. Geopolitical, demographic shifts, the economic divides, the climate pressure, the rapidly even disruptive evolving new technologies. And we need a Europe that is able to understand these challenges, that is able to adapt to these challenges, and that can lead the way forward while tackling these challenges. Our answer needs to remain people-centered, of course, grounded in our values and putting always education at the core. This is exactly what our citizens expect. As I also mentioned last night when we were together in a recent Eurobarometer survey, when people were asked where the Commission, where the European Union should focus to strengthen its global position, education came fourth as their answer, ahead of areas such as migration, trade, or innovation. Across Europe, the case for more coordinated action on vocational education and training could not be clearer. For too long, that has been unfairly seen as Plan B in education. Too many vocational programs still struggle with low enrollment, with lack of visibility, or with outdated perceptions. That has to change. 6 out of 7 sectors where skills shortages are most acute require exactly vocational skills. So to me, it is very clear. That must be a plan A. And I'm very proud that the Commission is leading by example in increasing the visibility, the valorization of VET. And as of next year, we will start to offer 100 VET traineeships as part of the Blue Book trainee program of our institution. Now, as you know, in the Union of Skills, we announced that we will put forward a new European VET strategy for the period of 2026-2030, and we will present it in the first part of next year. The objectives are to meet the evolving labour market needs so that we boost competitiveness, so that we make VET studies more attractive, more inclusive, especially for women, but not only, of course, and enable systems to adapt and innovate together with technological developments. That is why we have proposed a new STEM target, so that by 2030, the share of students that are enrolled in STEM fields in initial medium level VET should be at least 45%, and inside that, with at least 1 out of 4 women students. That is why also we want to develop a European joint VET diploma to make mobility easier, to modernize curricula, and to ensure that vocational qualifications can be recognized across Europe. This will be built not by Lego bricks, but step by step, together with all of you. I am grateful to those of you who already expressed their willingness to pilot European VET diploma project with the support that we will, of course, put forward through the Erasmus Plus program. We also need innovation in the learning itself. to develop basic and transversal skills, including citizenship and entrepreneurship, and for lifelong adaptability to changing labor market needs and personal development. Technology and artificial intelligence are at the forefront of our daily changes. We must make sure that they serve, that they enhance our human capabilities, not that they replace them or diminish them. Artificial intelligence should help us learn better and work smarter, with clear rules, with strong values, and with ethical guardrails. This is why I will work with edtech companies to build our European sovereignty in digital education. We also want to boost upskilling and reskilling for the European workforce to be ready for the rapid technological transformation of our society and for a greener planet. Efforts have been made in the provision of micro-credentials by VET providers, in cooperation, of course, with companies. However, more needs to be done, quicker, if we want Europe to be ready to compete with other parts of the world in order to lead the digital and green transitions. A recent study shows the need to develop more comprehensive and transparent quality assurance mechanisms for a better recognition by employer. This is also built brick by brick through confidence and joint work, of course. None of this can happen without our teachers, without our trainers. That is why we will present next year a European teachers and trainers agenda to make the profession more attractive, to make the profession more rewarding. And of course, for that, we need investment. In these challenging times, education and vocational training are our best insurance against uncertainty. Every euro that we invest in education is an investment with very high returns in Europe's future strength. That is why, for the next multi-annual financial framework, post-2027, the Commission has proposed strong funding streams for education and skills, including VET, under Erasmus+, under the newly proposed European Competitiveness Fund, and of course under the National and Regional Partnership Plans and Global Europe. We have proposed a 50% increase in funding for the new Erasmus program, bringing it up to almost 41 billion euros. That is how I think we need to respond to one of the main shortcomings of the program today, that the resources available are simply not enough and that too many young people cannot access the program, especially those from less privileged backgrounds. Since 2021, so 4 years ago, more than 750,000 VET learners and staff have studied, have trained abroad. One in four of these learners were apprentices. Yet, while applications in the VET sector rose by 20% last year, the current budget barely meets the demand. Too many young people are still left out, and that must change. Being European starts with an ID, of course, with a passport, but it lives on through the hearts of those who learn to understand and support Europe. Every young person should have access to such growth experience, not as a privilege, but as a right. And to me, Erasmus as a right is a very important concept. With this proposal for the next MFF, we come a step closer towards this vision. Of course, synergies and complementarity between funding from different sources, including with national and regional and partnership plans, will be essential that we make Erasmus+ reach even more people. We'll also continue to support transnational cooperation, including the Centers for Vocational Excellence that are our European flagship projects for innovation and high-quality curricula. Let me mention that also in the next MFF, we have proposed to introduce VET business partnerships that are to be supported by the newly proposed created European Competitiveness Fund. These partnerships are meant to bring together businesses and VET institutions closer together, making sure graduates have the right skills and that companies find the talent that they need in the sectors that are critical for Europe's competitiveness and strategic autonomy. Dear colleagues, we are here to send a very clear signal to Europe's learners, to Europe's educators, to Europe's employers, that we are serious about transforming vets and prepare our vet learners for the jobs of tomorrow. I am convinced that if we fully embrace the European dimension, we can have a far greater impact. We often speak of the European project. That project is not built in Brussels, or not only in Brussels. It is built also in training centers, in vet schools, in workshops, in classrooms, in company floors, all over Europe. Or that is how it should be. That is where people learn how to do things and find solutions. And that is what vocational education is all about. And that is what today, with the Herning Declaration, that is all is really about, empowering people to shape Europe's future with their minds, with their hands, and of course with their hearts. I thank you, and I'm looking forward to debate. Thank you.